and a 10-year man in 1988,
89,
and
90. 10 years, it's the same amount of days, regardless of how you look at it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, and I'm pretty sure the interstate commerce laws are set up that way to where they would recognize it as such.
Mm-hmm.
But the union stopped it in 57, and then they reorganized again in 80, and then again in 83, 85, and they took steps along the way, and as they went along, why they kept saying, well, we have to take care of the young player. And they just chopped the old guy off.
And the young player can sit on the bench for a full year and make $100,000 now. That'd take you 15 years to make that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for it going back. I talked to Bill Rogel a few weeks ago. He says he doesn't get anything from the time he played. And
pitcher?
Bill Rogel, the shortstop for the Tigers.
Rogel.
Rogel, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Billy Rogel.
Yeah, he was going when you were coming.
Yeah, I know. I played against him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess you did. You got 2 years there and you were together.
Yeah, but Billy, what happened, when we formed a pension in 1946, we asked the people who had retired and to put money. We all put money into it. We put our own money into it to start it. I don't know if anyone knows that anymore, but we did. We all started. We put in $50 to find out if we could get we could have a pension plan, and then we raised it to $100 to make ourselves vested members in the plan. After we found that we could have it, then we all put in according to the number of years we had in. I had at that time I think 6 or 7 years in, and I had to pay $404 for the first year, and then so much each year after that. And we asked those fellows if they wanted to put in too, and they said, hell no, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they had an opportunity to get into it. Now, we did, I will say this, we cut out the coaches and the managers. That was for players only.
Yeah. If they had been, well, the coaches and managers were former players for all intents and purposes. I mean, they were, except in very few cases.
Yes, and in those days, they all were.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been any problem, but for some reason, well, first of all, we didn't have enough money to make it work until Happy Chandler signed a contract with Gillette for $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The pension plan was dead in the water until that happened. So he's the one that made it.
Chandler's, he lives, oh, I don't know, 15, 20 miles from me here. His contribution, I think, is oftentimes overlooked or minimized. I think
he got canned for doing it.
Yeah.
They fired him.
He sure did, and he was took a lot of flack for the Mexican League stuff. And,
yeah.
I think he did an awful lot for the game.
Heck, you're right there, and if you ever get around him, I'll tell you, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's a fine old fellow. I'm a primarily a horse doctor. That's what I do for a living. This this stuff is fun, but it sure doesn't pay many bills. He's real popular among the horse people, and he'll go to parties and things and see him from time to time. He's not getting around too much anymore. He's in a wheelchair now. I guess he must be 90 something now.
Oh, he's way up there. I know that.
But he's still got a twinkle in his eye and likes a joke. He's a fine old fellow.
That's good.
Now, Tom, we talk about some changes like the pension plan. There's been 50 years, over 50 years since you started playing. There's been a jillion changes.
Yes.
What do you think is the main change over these last half century?
Well, the first thing that changed was the defensive strategies that were brought about by Boudreau. And he was the first one to do it, and McCarthy did it, where they would take players and pitch to their strength and play them. Take a left-handed hitter that couldn't pull the ball, and they would pitch him outside and force him to go to the opposite field.
Mm-hmm.
And, things like that, setting up defenses, the strategies of the game, that was the one of course, night baseball changed it, too.
Sure. They were just playing, what, 4 or 5 night games a year when you started?
Didn't have any. There weren't any parks in the American League with night baseball.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I knew the National League had a few.
Right,
yeah.
Cincinnati was the only one.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia came in, and White Sox came in, I think, were the first ones in the American League. But anyhow, that changed it. The slider changed it more than anything else, I guess. The physical conditioning's changed it. The maneuvering that they go on now, the psychology of the game has changed. The whole thing. They're bigger and stronger. I don't know that they're any smarter, but I would guess that they are. But I think the stars that we had in when I played could play now.
Baja and Williams could hit any time, anywhere.
I believe that.
They say they're better fit, better conditioned today. Is this not a function of their, you know, in your day, you still had to eat the 6 months you weren't playing ball. You had to go out and work. And if you worked out, you had to do it at night.
Yes.
Today, these guys don't have to work. If they can stay fit all year round. That's got to be a big factor. What about the designated hitter? What do you think of that?
Well, I don't like it myself because I think it took some of the personal things out of the game, where a pitcher had to become a better hitter, or he had to learn how to bunt, or there's certain things he had to do mm-hmm. in order to help his team.
Right.
And you could, I look at it this way. I wouldn't be, if I was pitching today, of course they probably wouldn't let me pitch because I pitched high and inside.
Mm-hmm.
And guys would be flopping down all over the plate, but I certainly wouldn't worry about anybody who was walking up there with a 250 or 260 average, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And we used to look at it and say, well, the last three guys belong to me. In other words, the seventh, eighth, and ninth hitter, you had to take, that was a personal thing. You owned them, you had to get them out of there.
Uh-huh, give you one inning.
Yeah, the other guys were going to go ahead and get their base hits, and you had to try to keep it, keep the ball on the ground and keep the thing in the ballpark. But the last three was that was an automatic thing. You just took them.
Yeah, they've taken one of those guys away from you now.
Yeah, they took one away.
Talk about pitching high and inside. My son is a pitcher on the high school team, and he's pretty successful. And we're trying. The kids from Little League on, somehow it's instilled in their head that they don't throw the ball inside. And finally, we've gotten to where he's pitching inside a little bit, but. I don't understand how this gets in there. I was a pitcher when I was a kid, and my coach always told me that, you know, you throw them inside, and it makes the batter wonder a little bit. How do you get this into a kid's head?
Well, I always felt this way. There was a radio announcer we had in Washington was a pretty good pitcher when I joined the ball club. His name was Walter Johnson.
Yeah, he could throw a ball.
And he said high and inside did two things. He said, number one, he said, if it was out over plate a little bit, he said, somebody would take a run at it and try to hit it. He said, nobody could hit it. He said, number two, if it was far enough inside, it would back him up off the plate. He said, he wouldn't be able to dig a hole to get himself braced.
Uh-huh.
He said, so it accomplished two things. And, of course, we were pitching in a big ballpark. And that was the place to pitch.
Sure.
And if you pitched in Yankee Stadium, right today, that's the place to pitch in Yankee Stadium. You pitch on that inside corner or outside corner to a left-hander, inside corner to a right-hander.
Uh-huh.
If your ball's tailing away, that's the place to pitch. But they were playing them without helmets.
Yeah.
The helmet came on while the last couple of years I played. But I've heard a lot of arguments about guys getting hit. We knew that there were fellows in the league who couldn't get out of the way of the ball. And no one got the ball even close to these fellows.
Sure.
Dominic DiMaggio, Walter Drilpo, Cecil Travis. If you threw the ball near them, they just stood there. You were going to hit them. And you knew that. And consequently, you didn't. You took a whole lot of care about what you did with them. And but I look at it this way. I got two broken ankles. I got the nails torn off my fingers. I got buttons taken off my cap. I've had the skin taken off my ears with line drives. And every time I was hit, a guy screaming, ha, 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 I got me a pitcher.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a big joke. So I have no remorse about a guy up there. He gets in the way, and he gets hit tough.
Yeah, okay, good.
When he walks in that little white box up there, he's on his own, and I'm on my own out there. If you can't get out away from it, that's your problem. You shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's not like you're obviously throwing at him. That's different if you're going out there with malice, but the plate's yours, and anything around it's yours.
That's absolutely right. If you are after a fella, and I consider this, if you're going to be a man enough, you're going to tell him that you're going to throw at him. And then it's murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. I've seen guys throw at close at guys and stuff like that. Anytime I've seen a guy who really truly wanted to hurt somebody, they throw at their feet because they can't get their feet out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen broken ankles.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's your ball's going to get away. That's going to happen sometimes.
Has to.
You're making your living with your ability to throw the ball in a specific spot. And a man's an awful big target. If you wanted to hit him, you could hit him 9 times out of 10.
All you have to do is throw him back of him.
Uh-huh, that's right, because he'll go right to it.
He can't go anywhere then.
Yeah.
He's going to fall right into it. I mean, there's no simple, nothing hard about hitting someone.
Yeah. I was not quite as successful as you, obviously, since I never played professionally, but I've always been on the side of the pitcher and always had a pitcher's outlook. You mentioned Walt Dropa. Did anybody ever have a better rookie year than that man?
No.
Isn't that fantastic? What happened?
Well, you better ask him that. He'll tell you the same thing. Two men, Steve O'Neill, take care of it.
No kidding?
Yeah. He had some personal prejudice.
Well, that's a shame, because that's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Were you a collector of souvenirs and mementos when you played?
I'm just the opposite.
Went out of the way not to?
Yeah, I'm not one to look back. I like to look forward.
Oh, well, that's a good outlook. What about fan mail today? Do you receive much?
About 3 or 4 letters a week, I guess.
The autograph requests?
Yeah.
Do you sign them?
Certainly.
Good. I sent you, well, I think it's been, I don't know how many years ago, 5 or 6, it was a picture I took of you when I was about 14 and you were with the SEALs. And I sent 2 of them in case you wanted one, and you sent back a note thanking me and saying that you'd give it to your grandson because he was collecting Facebook or something. That's good. I hope he still has it.
Yes, I did.
I never saw you without dark glasses. Vision problem or just more comfortable?
No, I had nearsighted. In fact, I was blind in depth vision in my left eye, which they found out. But what the tinted glasses came from the lights at night, and we didn't know it. We were in Chicago and had white pebbles around the field
mm-hmm.
next to the fences. And I got deathly ill, and I was down in the runway, and every time I'd walk out, I had to go back down and puke.
Wow.
And didn't know what it was. And every time we went into a ballpark that had lights in it, I would get sick and start to puke. So they took me down and checked me, and it was because of the intensity of the light affected my eyes and upset my stomach.
I'll be darned. And the glasses prevented that?
Yeah, Ray-Ban made a goggle for me. They put 2 pieces of glass together with a cellulose in between and some washers up in the frame, so in case anything would happen, the whole lens would fall out.
Oh, well,
it wouldn't
good. Shatter. You still wear them? You still have the problem?
Oh, yes. I'm nearsighted.
That's something that's going to stay with you.
At 70, I'm glad I could see.
Yeah, I guess so. You're 70 years old. Wow.
I will be. I'm not yet.
June 22nd. Well, it's close. Okay, if you go back 50 years, 51, 52 years, would you do the same thing?
I'd have no choice. How can you turn your back on something that everyone wants to do and then get paid for it?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'd have played for nothing.
Yeah.
And to be paid for it, why, that was just that much more.
You enjoyed the whole shooting match?
Every bit of it. It was a learning experience, and I got to meet some of the greatest people in the world. I still have friends that I met back in the 40s and 50s. And some of my teammates, we still correspond with each other. Just, we're like a family. And that was the great thing about Mr. Griffith, that he made everybody feel like they were a family. We didn't all make a whole lot of money, but we made more than some of the clubs, and, and he was just a wonderful man.
Is there anything you'd do differently? Would you go about anything differently if you were starting over?
I couldn't. I probably would have gone on and got a degree during the Depression, and nobody was working in my family. I mean, it was almost a necessity that I go to work, and there was no way that I had two academic scholarships, and I had a couple baseball, basketball scholarships, and which I could have gone to school, but then we looked at the financial situation, and when you have a mother and a father and a brother and nothing coming in, why, somebody's going to have to do something.
Yeah. You've got both your kids through school, though.
Pardon?
You put both your kids through school.
Yeah.
They got degrees. That's good. If you can't do it, you can get them to do it.
Well, I hope. We always look forward to... I look at it this way. You were put here to make this place a better place to live in, and I hope everybody would try to do it.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I don't think everybody does try. But
it doesn't come easy. You can't do it sitting down.
No, anything worthwhile you got to work at.
That's right. The only thing you get for nothing is bad advice.
Oh boy, yes indeed. Wish I could sell some of the bad advice I've got.
Yeah. You're in that racket around there. Are you around Frankfort or Lexington?
Yeah, I'm in Paris, which is about 12 miles northeast of Lexington.
Uh-huh. Well, and you see it coming and going.
Oh yes.
Your barn's full of it.
Yeah. All over the fields and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I've really enjoyed this. I guess I do probably 20 interviews a year, and some of them are pretty painful. But I've really enjoyed talking with you. I really appreciate your time.
Well, I've enjoyed it too.
Would you like to see this before I submit it to the magazine?
I don't think we've done anything that's illegal or immoral.
Not fattening, that's for sure.
All right.
Okay, but I'll send it on in. It'll, their schedule, I have no idea how they schedule things. I sent one in about a month ago, and it appeared three weeks later, whereas some things I've sent in 3 months ago haven't appeared yet, so I don't know what the schedule is. It will appear sometime between the next month and the next 6 months, is all I can say.
Yes.
But how many copies would you like? We'll send you whatever you'd like when it's
done. Two would be fine.
Okay. Well, if the publisher's been real good about doing it, but every once in a while there's a snafu and I end up doing it. But in any event, somebody will send you a couple copies.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And they do a pretty good job. There's misprints, but I guess there's misprints and everything. But nothing is, it's a word or two omitted. It's not anything said incorrectly. They usually illustrate it. If they can't get a picture of the player from his playing days, they get some of his baseball cards and illustrate it with that. But in any event, there is some sort of illustration.
Yeah.
And,
It's like going back into ancient history.
Pretty much it is, yeah. I've talked to fellows all the way from, the early 30s up until the 80s, and the one thing that's been constant is that nobody has said that they would change, they would go back, they'd do it all again.
Oh, yeah.
So my son wants to play ball. I hope he can. I couldn't. I hope he can. He would make him the happiest person on earth, I think.
Well, you just have to see that he doesn't become abused. And that's the principal thing that happens to minor league players and college players.
Well, that's good to know. He's fixing to go to college next year. He's got
He will abuse them if you don't, if you don't watch him. Where is he going to go to school?
Don't know yet. He's got a couple of scholarship offers waiting to see if there's anything else coming. This is his senior year. I guess it depends on how good a year he has as to what other kind of offers he gets. But right now he's leaning toward Georgetown here in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
It's an NAIA school with a pretty good baseball program. They're usually highly rated in there.
Oh, he'll get to play fall and spring, won't he?
Yeah, he's got a good spring schedule and a short fall schedule.
Good, good. Just so he gets to play a whole lot, and if he's pitching, just tell him to make sure he gets adequate rest and don't get crazy about, going out for dear old alma mater, as he's was he, 18 years old?
Yes, sir.
He's not mature enough, I don't think. Well, you're a vet, aren't you?
He's not. He is slow maturing.
Well, then he has it not. Well, William says if Mom and Daddy didn't put it there, it's not there. So, you know, the best players are not in the major leagues. The survivors are in the major leagues.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
Two players in the minor leagues, just like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been told that too. Yeah, it's.
He has to learn how to protect himself, and if he doesn't, why, he's going to be a casualty. That's the biggest thing I see about young players. They try to do too much.
Well, I will play this part of the tape for him and let him hear it from somebody who knows.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate this. I've enjoyed it very much.
You're quite welcome.
Okay.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, bye.